So welcome back to hour two of Tuesday Live with Linda and Friends on the 23rd of August. I can't believe it. So I would love to hear how some of you are doing. Have we ever had some news? I didn't have a chance before to say hi to Katerina. Harriet. I caught you. And actually, I'd like to introduce, maybe she just left. Anka, are you still here?
Yes, she jumped. I am here.
Oh, okay. You're still here. Oh, hi, there you are. And Anka has been... She's in Germany and been one of our most senior practitioners for horses for many years and also for humans. And I would love it, Anka, if you could share some T-Touch story, either for yourself or, you know, for one of your students, because at this time we like to talk story, like to hear how people are using T-Touch for themselves. So.
Mm-hmm. I would like that week I got three messages from my students. And when I start my seminars, it doesn't matter if it's T-Touch for you or T-Touch for you and your horse. I always start more or less with a heart hug, because I think it's so important if you have an animal or if it's just for yourself. And I started to do a heart hug challenge with my students. So I invite them to do it for a week, that they try to do heart hug for 1 to 3 minutes each day. So in the morning, in the lunchtime, or at night. And then after a week, we'll ask again, so how it was going, what was different as before. And we create a group where I remind them, sometimes on Facebook, sometimes on WhatsApp. So I send some videos, or I'm asking to remind them to do it, because many times we just forget to do it. And this week I got these different messages, and one of them wrote that at the beginning she had a feeling that it doesn't work, it's too hard to put it in. But then she did it while she went riding, and her horse had she was with her horse on the road, and there was a way where he usually is not feeling safe. And then when she did the heart hug before, it was totally fine. And then 2 days later, she went to a dog training. And even there, she did a heart hug before she went in the lesson. And her trainer told her that her dog is smiling at her so much. So the trainer saw the difference in the dog. And she didn't know anything about the heart hug. So that was really amazing for her. And she said that her horses and her children really liked T-Touch.
Cool.
Yeah, I loved it really well. So the other one did a challenge, and she said it not always worked. So sometimes you may forget. If you have three times for each day, sometimes you may have only one, but still more than nothing. And she said that she could see that she's more more positive and more happy. And things that are usual, that make her angry, usual, didn't have a chance. That's what I really liked, that she said these things had a chance to make her angry. And she said now after this week, she saw that if she just put her hands on the heart, then she starts to breathe deeper. So it's already a habit for her. I like to call it an anchor. You know, you start doing it. And I always say, since I really got it from Linda, when I put my hands here, my smile is coming by itself. I don't have to think about positive stuff. I just start smiling. It's connected already.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I find the same thing. I can't help it. Because I've done it for so many years now. It's really fascinating. I would I would like, that brings up something like the concept that you can no longer, that she doesn't get like upset or angry. Mm-hmm. Anger comes from a place of fear. And the fact is that when we're fearful, we're under the influence of the sympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that can change, and I wanted to share something with you. I pulled this up as I'm figuring out, deciding which books to put on the bookshelves that are here behind me for inspiration and reference. I came upon this. I have carried this little book with me for years on my travels. And it's the inside story of heart math, understanding the power of feelings, the heart-brain connection. And you can't get this anymore. I tried to get, you know, copies of it to give out, and they don't have it. So it's, I just wanted to, speaking of that emotion, first of all, what I'd like to, say, did I understand you to say it doesn't work for her sometimes, or sometimes she forgets to do it three times?
The first person with the dog and the horses, she said she didn't have the feeling it worked.
Okay, that's what I thought. And what do any of you remember the caregiver from London who she was on about a year and a half ago? You might remember this. Maybe Teresa was here, I'm pretty sure, and Jewel. And she had been, it's her job in hospitals. I forget what her title is, but in hospital, she has to talk to the parents of patients. And she had such incredible success. And just, I think her first story was a six-year-old child who was in the hospital, and I don't remember for what, but he hadn't gotten up to go to the bathroom, and he wouldn't use the pot that they gave him for like at least 4 days, and he wouldn't talk to them. And so she was in the room leading the parents through the heart hug. And in the process of sharing it, he got up and went to the bathroom by himself. And it was a lovely story. And then I don't know, maybe a month or so later, she came on and shared that for the first time, it hadn't, like, she didn't feel the magic. She didn't have the same effect with the patients that she was working with. And she realized the difference was she had not given the image of taking the clock off the wall. Do anybody remember that? It was so interesting to me and so clear, because that concept is really essential to the full feeling or effects of the heart hug. You can do it without. I mean, you can just teach little kids, you know, we've done it with like 3 and 4 year olds just to do the heart. Of course, they don't have the concept necessarily of the clock at all. But this is an aspect when you teach it, the concept of, I forgot to turn my phone off in just a moment. Come on, just have to get on airplane. Thank you. So this concept of imagining that clock is really necessary to bring us into that place of breath and imagining, to activate this right brain, to be able to bring us into a state of heart coherence. And I wanted to, so that would be interesting, Anka, to go back and ask her when she did that and it didn't work, if she actually, you know, went through that process of imagining this clock here and the face of the clock. Because it'd be interesting. Maybe you can let us know next week.
Yes, I will ask her. I think it worked because her horse and her dog showed her that it worked. It just was not her feeling that there was so much change. But I will ask her again, how is it now after she got this feedback from the trainer to see the difference and from her horse?
And ask her if she, what were the actual steps that she used? Because when a person is in a state of agitation or, nervousness or upset about something, that the very act of taking the time to imagine that clock there, because imagining activates the right brain. And this is something all of you who keep coming every week, it's essential to understand the effects of the heart hug and the 1 1/4 circles. Because with heart math, they put you in that state of heart coherence with a technique for breathing. And this is what I want to bring up to you, because Anka, you mentioned that, I can't remember who it was, that no longer gets like upset or angry, and has to do with feeling. And I'd like to read this to you. This is they're very fast, even faster than thoughts. They're invisible. We can't see them and often don't even know they exist. At other times, they're as loud as a thunderstorm booming inside us. Visible on our faces and in the way we move. Without them, we can't enjoy food, have fun with friends, or feel the stir of mind. What? I can't. This is interesting. This print is really strange. It's very light. With them, we can feel miserable and confused or joyful. What are they? There are feelings and emotions. The word emotion can be defined as energy in motion. An emotion is a strong feeling, a feeling such as joy, sorrow, or anger that moves us. Moves in italics. The experience of emotion makes life matter. It transforms our world from a series of events and facts into a living, breathing experience. For instance, you've had a rotten day, you come home and your dog is wildly wagging his whole body because he loves you no matter what. Just seeing him, you start to ease up on yourself and forget about your awful day. You may not always be aware of your deeper feelings and how they're affecting your body, your energy, your thoughts, and your relationships. You might notice tension or an upset stomach sometimes. You might even feel your heart pounding on your chest. In fact, one of the easiest ways that scientists observe how feelings affect our bodies is in the effect they have on our heart rhythm. When emotions are strong, they can be detected in the changing pattern of our heart rhythms. When people are frustrated, scared, worried, angry, or upset, their heart rhythms are uneven and irregular. When these uneven, irregular heart rhythms are viewed on a computer screen, they look like jagged mountain peaks. I think you've all seen this jagged look. If you have heart math on your M-Wave on your phone, emotional balance, that's what often happens in the beginning when you first start to go into heart coherence. So the graph on the left shows changes in the heart rate pattern. The random jerky pattern is typical of feelings of anger or frustration. When we're upset, it's usually hard to think clearly. Making a wise choice is tough for anyone when they're emotionally upset. Have you ever said something to a friend in a moment of anger that you later regretted? However, when we're feeling confident and secure, feeling cared for, or appreciating someone or something, our heart rhythms are smooth. And even like the ones in the diagram below, scientists now know that the heart and the brain are connected, and that smooth and even heart rhythms make it easier to think clearly and make better decisions. So you can see the difference in the smoothness and then the jagged mountain ranges. And I had the good fortune in 1997, I signed up in one of the first years that HeartMath offered these online courses. And because I had been inspired by a friend of mine who'd gone the weekend before, and absolutely, it just blew his socks off because of the ability to discern and change his emotions. Did you know, in recent years, scientists have discovered that the heart has its own independent nervous system, a complex system referred to as, quote, the brain in your heart, unquote. This system receives and relays information back to the brain in the head, creating a two-way communication between heart and brain. So I just want to put this out there. And I'd love to have you, Teresa, talk about, because I know that you've now done the heart math training. And what has that done for you personally? Can you talk about that?
Well, for me, actually, it goes so together with T-Touch. And I remember when I first went for the training and we were doing these breathing through the heart to imagine what it means through the heart and inhale and exhale. And I said, I put my hand on my chest. Is that okay? Because this is the heart hug. And we, in the training, we all did the heart hug without saying. And then I said, what I'm doing, that's why in all my trainings, when I now teach T-Touch and heart math work, it is really a symbiosis of both methods. It's a living way, and it helps so much. And I always say, you have always the time to do that. And in 1 minute, you can change from the sympathetic nervous system to the parasympathetic, and you can make there are different way to breathe. It's okay, but in 1 minute you can get into a heart frequency of 60, which means that you are in the parasympathetic nervous system. And when you tell that, and you are in the moments where you are angry, where you are probably you are sad, whatever, and you just take that. You take the heart hug and you say, and you think about breathing, and it really changes. It's like cleaning your teeth. You do it. You won't do that not for some days because it's too expensive if you have to go to the dentist. So if you do this, you have a way to help yourself, and it's really what you say, Linda. You put the heart in your hand and you do the touch. And when you do it for yourself, it's just the greatest. So it is actually, I will have Eva tomorrow at my home, and I will show her a little bit about T-Touch and heart math, and hope she will enjoy.
Beautiful. How lucky. I wish we could all be there.
Well, that you are. Oh, here she is. Yeah, we will think on you, all of you.
Great.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. So, does anyone have any issues that they have dealt with this week with T-Touch?
Actually, I would have one. If I may add, I do have issues with my feet, you know, neurologically, and really sometimes it is really tough. And I have to change shoes because I can't walk anymore. But I walk almost every day, 8 to 10 kilometers a day, because the movement is the only thing which really helps me. So I just come to the yesterday, I couldn't barely come home because my feet were really hurting. So I sat down and I said to Umberto, I may do some tea touch. I never do it because it's not so easy for me, as you know, with my hips and whatever. And I have to say it was tea touch. I never do such pressure of 8. And I did the whole foot, the right one more than the left one. And I said, wow, it didn't hurt anymore. So it, and I said, you know, it's like the cleaning the teeth. You just, if you don't do the tea touch, it can't work. So I will do it more.
Beautiful. Really interesting, isn't it? How a situation like that put you in a position where you used it in a different way. Beautiful. Marnie.
Well, Teresa just talking reminded me, I had been meaning to say, she has said over different times that she can't reach down there to work on her feet because of hip, you know, whatever. And I had been meaning to say that Robin uses those longer sticks and maybe tie a sponge or something on it, and where you can reach with the stick down there and do circles on those areas. It's just another way of doing it and extending it the way we do the wand on animals, but you can do more, and that it's amazing. And I learned that, you know, dealing with my problems too. And for me, it was better than having my own hands on in the beginning. But anyway, there's a way to extend it. You just have to experiment with what you have, but you can reach down there and do T-touch.
And you know what? What we should do next week is bring wraps and work on our feet with the wraps.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And then bring something like, oh, I threw it away last week. I can't believe it. I had a little tiny ball that was too small to use in the hand, and I got rid of it. But a small ball that you could roll around and do the T-touch with the wrap and the ball would be interesting, besides just doing the lifts with it. Hmm. Can you remember that, Teresa? Will you help me remember to remind everybody?
I will write it down. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't remember. So I'll right. do it immediately.
Yeah, we've got to get Kirsten, or Judy, maybe you can remind Kirsten to send out a message to everybody to bring wraps. Michelle, hi.
I will do that.
Yeah, super, thank you. Michelle, hi, I see your hand.
Hi, yes. I have been doing, I just wanted to tell you, the 1 1/4 and then 1/4 back circle, like as a release. Oh, it's so wonderful. Like it just feels so good. I actually have been trying to do that on my hip area because my right hip, like all the way down my leg, I can't sit cross-legged anymore. It's just not comfortable. So I've been trying to do it in that area to release there, but I might just have to do it more continually because I'm still not able to sit like that. But I really like that 1 1/4 and then a little release. I like that a lot.
And which hand position are you using?
So actually a lot of times, what is this called? The full hand?
So it's your... issues. What is that in English? So it's a nerve that runs from your hip down?
No, it's like the joints or something. Like everything's really tight in that area. And yeah. So when I go to sit cross-legged with the right leg, I can't. Right. It comes up and there's all pain.
So one of the things that could be affecting that is the psoas that we did with Eleanor twice now. Because if you think of the, oh man, I wish this is where we should have be able to pull up that drawing. Because when you can't open your legs to sit cross-legged, think of the pull that is from the attachment to the inside, no? Right up across back. I wonder. But you know, if it's a hip joint, maybe that's not it. If it's a hip joint, can you use like your fingers together, bare touch, and do like 1 1/4, 1/4 yes. back? That's what you're doing, all right, with the tips, like together?
Yes, I had to really push though. Like I can't just barely touch my skin. Like I feel like I have to get in there in order to feel satisfaction.
So do a tiny 1 1/4 circles and go into the middle.
Okay.
Hold and sponge out. And you can go in straight in.
Okay.
With a lot, because sometimes it's interesting, isn't it, Teresa? Sometimes the pressure is necessary. And the fact is, if it doesn't hurt more, if it feels like it's a good, you know, like a good pain.
The good pain.
You have to do that.
The good and pain.
And I would probably be going in right into the middle with at least a 6, at least.
Okay. I'm also going to try to release the psoas because last night I did some release in the front of myself. And it was so super tight, like lower abdomen area all around, all the way down into the pelvis. So like right into that hip joint. So you're probably onto something there.
So remember what Eleanor said, that's really important. In that area, just talk to the body. Don't put a lot of pressure on it.
Yeah.
That's when you do what we call a laser. You go in. And without pressing down, it's just like you make the contact go around the outside and you spiral in to the center. It's like 1 1/4. And then it's, I feel like I come out and I just imagine a laser. I just imagine connecting to those cells and I don't have to use pressure. I just send the image of light going for cell to cell. And then you can really make a connection with that area and be really respectful. Like what Eleanor said, and I've been doing that with Roland, use a 2, not more. Because it's not a physical pressure that will do it in the psoas area in there at where the psoas connects.
Okay, it's better to do a gentler to talk to it there. Okay,
yeah, Teresa, you first.
Yeah,
of all,
I just wanted to mention the book about psoas. It's your most important muscle, and there are very good exercises in it, not to strengthen but to smooth and to be really. It has to be very. It's not like a muscle from, you know, biceps that you have to hold it. It has to fix everything. And this, as you can see, is so important. And probably I can show you for Michelle, you know.
Jewel, I'll get you next and then Ava.
So more exercises. You can find this book. It is, I will put it in the chat. Joanne Stogart Jones, and she has also a very nice part of what happens with the psoas and the our emotions.
Super.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Helpful. Thank you. Jewel.
Yes. Interesting you brought up wraps because, and maybe maybe I'll have more results next week. I have started doing a lot of therapy exercises in a pool. And about the time I started, my knee that had been the big problem, and it hasn't been a problem, still not much of a problem, but there was definitely a swollen spot on the inside side of my knee, on the front surface, of course. And I had tried, you know, laser, bear, abalone. I've been going through everything trying to do it. And a couple of days ago, I thought, you know, it feels like I want my leg to be, to release some of the tension on the inside of that knee. So I used a wrap. And there's still some issue there. And I used it again this morning. But it definitely feels different. You know, I can definitely feel a difference both while I'm wearing the wrap, and of course I'm walking and doing things while I've got the wrap on. So I'm interested to keep doing that over the next week and see how that has changed that knee in a week.
Beautiful. Let's see. I'm sorry. When you do exercises in the pool, do you do it in shallow water, or how do you move?
It depends. I generally start out in shallow water. Actually, I'll do in real shallow water with my knees under the water, of course, still. I'll do contralateral walking for a while, back and forth across the pool. And then I do a side-to-side where I spread my legs out and hold my arms out. I've had aqua therapy a bunch of times. And then I'll kind of jog forward and jog back across the pool, still in shallow water. Then I do some like jumping jacks under with everything right. Underwater, yeah. with a pool noodle as extra support. And then I do some things that are helping my shoulder.
Super. So one of the things that I found really fun, because I did some aqua therapy in Hawaii, and it's I love the jumping jacks and things like that. But what I started doing was riding a pool noodle like it's yours.
That's and what I do. Yep.
I can just do this wild, like trotting in. And I imagine I'm on a horse and I'm flying across the arena and doing all these figures. And it's really fun. And I very much enjoy that riding. But it sort of lost my ability to swim.
Well, I'm not really what you would call a excellent form kind of swimmer. But I can dog paddle really well, and my mother always said that it would be really hard to drown me. She always thought I tend to pop to the top and just keep going.
That's funny. Great, thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Ava.
I just wanted to share something because I'm still in the process of testing T-Touch and all this. And the other day I fell lightly on both knees, and on one knee I fell a bit more heavily. So I did a lot of T-Touch on the bone that was hurting, and the other knee was not hurting so much. So I didn't do any T-Touch. And I can see that the knee that was hurting, I have no bruises. And the other knee, I'm full of bruises. So that was really, for me, something extraordinary. And I'm going to learn a lot more and develop a lot more self-confidence with Teresa. I wanted to share that.
Beautiful. And for those of you, I think everybody except Ankin knows that Ava normally lives in Israel and is on summer vacation.
Yeah, and it's so nice to see the mountains and the green and the lake. I enjoy it so much.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I mean, we're so used to that, those of you who have done T-Touch for years. I mean, it's unbelievable. You have to be careful because you can break a bone and do T-Touch on it, and you won't get swelling and you won't have pain. I've never taken longer than half an hour to get rid of the pain completely, and it won't swell, and there'll be no bruising if you do T-Touch right away. So the reason I say you have to be careful, then when you go to the hospital, they think you're okay. But I've had to insist a couple of times that they do an X-ray because they wouldn't believe that there's a break. Anka.
I was just thinking about our mindset when we are doing T-Touch. A while ago, I had always a cramp in my thumb, and it made me a little bit afraid because I'm using my hands for my work, and so I was afraid they won't work till the end of my life. So, and I did T-Touch on him, and it did not really work because I always thought, just change it, change that cramp, so stop doing this. And then I have been with you at the Chiemsee, where a colleague of mine, Tomke, was also there. She's T-Touch for You practitioner too. And then I thought, so I may ask her, maybe she's better than I am. And I gave her my arm, and she started on the arm, not here. And I could see with every single T-Touch she did that she just acknowledged the body and the cells, and my whole arm just felt loved and complete and seen, and it was one of my most amazing experience I had because I saw how it felt when she did it without, just change it like I did. And so since then I'm always trying to be more grateful instead of
Yeah.
what do you say, yeah, that what I wanted.
And think of and the reason for starting away from where the issue is to two things for me. Work with an area that is not painful in a way, the same pressure and way you would work with a part that is like you're having an issue with. And just remind the body what's normal, what's the normal feeling? Just when these cells communicate and connect with each other, what's that feeling? And so it encourages when you get down to the area that hurts, I mean, then there's a trust there. And, I think it's so much easier to work on ourselves, and this is for Michelle, as though you're working on your a person or on your favorite animal. And with total respect for the intelligence of this body. That's the thing. And I'm really happy you brought that up
And
because it.
sorry.
No, Quinn.
And I one of my students had more or less the same thing with her horse, and the horse got hurt, and it was really hard for her to put something on this. It was on the hind leg, and she didn't want to be touched there or looked at, and she got really, really angry, the horse, and kicked the woman who belongs to the stable and who had to serve for the horse. So she really doesn't want to have anyone there. And my student, she also tried with T-Touch and didn't get there. And then she talked to me, and I said, change your mind, in the direction of seeing the beauty and start on the other leg. And the next day, she went to the other hind leg and started there with seeing her mare healthy and not with the wish to change. And she said she could do the T-Touch on that leg first, and the horse and the mare relaxed, and then she could go to the other leg, and she could do the T-touch, and she could put everything on it what needs to be there. And in the same day, in the morning, the vet was there to take care, and he has to sedieren. How do you say it in English?
Late, yeah.
Say they
Late
have
the
to
horse.
stay there because they haven't been able to reach here. And till this afternoon, when she did it with a T-touch and changing her mind, doesn't matter. It's not a problem anymore to go there and put the salve on it or whatever, the cream on it. Yeah, changing mind
And
can really help.
it's really beautiful to think if you're working on the other areas, you're not afraid. As long as you're thinking, we're thinking the horse is going to react, or we think we're going to have pain, we cannot be, we're in the sympathetic nervous system. And when we work on, it's another reason. I mean, I never thought of this before because, you know, the idea with Rosenkreis concept is you don't start where the issue is. You start and show the body. They don't talk about cells, but just gain a trust. But it's interesting with Moshe himself, man, he went right to the problem. There wasn't a question of going somewhere else, but he had a different, you know, he wanted to show people, what are they doing? Like, why are you holding there? It's pretty interesting. And I think that I learned it another way because he wanted us to do this another way because we didn't have his ability in the beginning to be able to make the changes. Interesting. Judy and then Michelle.
Yeah, Linda, in the chat, there's a question from Harriet. She wants to know what T-touch tips are best when using a cane for walking because she had sprained her ankle, so she needs to use a cane.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking from the sessions we've been doing on Sundays with Saturdays on with Eleanor, any possibility, and maybe it may not be possible because you have to have the other hand to carry stuff possibly, but if you could have a backpack, if you're going somewhere and not have to carry something, if you had two canes or two, are you leaning on it or are you doing it for security?
I'm here. I'm leaning on it because my ankle's painful enough that I end up doing strange things to my body if I don't have support.
Well, the reason I would say if it's possible for at least some of the times to have two canes.
Okay.
Because you're really going to be twisting your body with, you know, protecting that leg. And I think it could help to even you out if you had to. And is the choice, is a cane enough? What about the possibility of, you know, what do you call it? When you break a bone, I forget what you call them. You have two of them, one on each hand.
We call that rollator, that you have even the opportunity to stop with wheels, and you have also some where you can sit to have a break. And it's you push it.
Right.
And you are in an upside position, so you and it's more sure. I just put it in the chat. I don't know how it's called.
It's called a walker.
A walker, yeah.
And the thing is, if that ankle is really bothering you, Harriet, one possibility instead of the cane is a walker that actually has a seat on it so that you can rest. And Anna, the thing about using the sticks, then I have thought about it a lot for, you know, when you have to be careful about one leg or the other, but I wouldn't feel safe using them because if you just slip a little, you know, like your hand slips or it's not as stable when you're really having to lean on something. I've thought about it a lot because I love walking with the sticks, but I'm really careful with them because of the ability, you know, if I don't place them exactly correctly. So have you considered, Harriet, a walker?
No, I hadn't thought about that. One of the things I'm not trying to be difficult, but I'm just thinking, like, for getting around my yard, that my yard isn't particularly level. And and at present, I have a lot of, the dead grasses from the heat is, you know, several inches long. So
you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to think about. And that, I mean, what about the idea of using two sticks because they have a handle on them. When you have to do something else, you, what I did, like when I'm walking with Griffin and for some reason I have to pay more attention, I just put them both on from the straps on one hand and drag them.
Those are really good ideas, and I'm laughing at myself because I have the sticks from doing the exercises with Eleanor. Then it didn't occur to me to use them to get around at home.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you have to lean on the cane?
It varies. If I'm just getting around at home, I'm not leaning on them a great deal, and I concentrate on trying to be straight and thinking of Eleanor's contralateral movements and just go slowly.
Right. And so in that case where it's smooth and you can really pay attention, maybe in the house that's the easiest idea with the sticks.
Yeah, those are all really good ideas. Thank you.
See what is practical for you.
Yeah.
While we're still talking to Harriet, Harriet, was the cane, because I spent many years walking with a cane before I had my hip replaced. Was the cane fitted to you, and were you shown how to walk with it by a PT or someone trained in that, or did you just get a cane?
No, the cane's fitted to me because I had hip replacements 15 years ago and went through the appropriate exercises.
Good. So you know what you're doing. I see so many people who just get a cane and have no clue.
Yeah. Yes. No.
Can I say something about what Jill just said? That's what I did. And before I ended up in the hospital, and by the time I got to Becky, trying to recover from surgery with a body that was so twisted from leaning on a cane for more than a year. This is before the surgery. But what I was very lucky about is I did happen to get a rollator. And the thing about the rollator is that you can have the rhythm of walking because of the wheels. So you can reprogram the walking rhythm and you can use it for balance as opposed to weight. And I can even run in it, which made me feel like I was going to survive because I've never had these kind of problems. But the other thing is the wheels on that. I live in Texas country. We have rocks, we have stumps, we have cactus, and I can go cross country in it. It isn't perfect, but you can get around in it in the pasture. I have horses and things. I can get around with the rollator in places where I'm doing much better, but when it gets to difficult ground, the rollator is amazing. And then you can stop anytime and sit on it. If you get tired, you have a chair with you. It's really rather remarkable. And I only accidentally got one, and I didn't understand anything much about what it was doing for me until I started doing the yoga with Becky. And I realized that it was reprogramming walking because I hadn't walked normally for a couple of years by the time, because my body was so twisted from leaning on the cane. And I'm an idiot. I didn't ask anybody. We won't go into that.
Come on, we know you.
I have gotten to where I will actually stop people in parking lots if I see them stuck it way out to the side and it's giving them no support, and fit it to them or tell them they really need to be doing this better. They're not getting the benefit that they want.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, no, just real quick. I just thought when we were talking about the horse story, I just wanted to share another update too. I told you my dog, I did a lot of tail work on him before the fireworks because he holds he won't let you touch his coolie at all. And how the fireworks were just a completely different experience this year. And I only did it for maybe a couple weeks. And so then I kind of stopped and was, I don't know, focusing on other things. And then I had a session with Miranda actually last week, Miranda Alcott.
Great.
It was really great. And I asked her about that area And she told me that the previous owner, like someone was dominant and from the foot kicked them, like, get out of my way. And he didn't see it coming. And so I've had him now for about 2 years, and I am not I am the least dominant person you're probably ever going to meet in life. And so he pretty much runs the show to a degree. He gets a say, is what I'm trying to say. And so now that I realize that that's what happened to him, we started working again. And oh my God, like I couldn't even go near it at first when I had taken that little bit of break and went back to do T-touch. So I had to start like you were saying, that's why I brought it up. Ears, body. And then just like introduce maybe not even the tail at that point. And he was like, you know, crunching, he didn't want me to. And now just in a few days time, maybe it's been 3 or 4 days, I can do tail work. We've had 2 accidents in the house of poop now. So I think he's releasing, because he doesn't poop in my house. I think he's releasing a lot of, you know, crap, literally. And which I'm really happy for him, because I mean, that's gotta be a huge release. And so what a great thing that we found this and I'm able to do this on him, because I think if I continue, I know if I continue, he's just, I hope at one point he won't be scared of the area at all. So I'm just gonna keep going with it.
Well, and one of the things, Michelle, that we found over the years is that when you work with the whole body and gain trust, and with these light circles, we can activate the oxytocin, which is a trust hormone. And you work on the rest of the body gently, to pressure, to tempo, and just give a dog a feeling of itself and a connection to the ground. And then the issues that they have, because I certainly have found over the years from feedback from people and from seeing how our animals relate to us, we can release fear at the cellular level. And so when you work on all the other parts to bring a sense, here is safe, you build those whole areas of safety, and then you get to those points. And like you say, that now you know something happened that was traumatic. Just hold the perfection, as Anka was saying, instead of fixing her thumb, just bring a sense of a peace and harmony to the whole body. And then and it's not a, in my experience, I think when he's in a situation with you where it's safe, he or she, I don't know, that you'll find you'll really be able to make big changes in that way. And it is really about changing your mind and not focusing then on the issue, but focusing on the beauty. And for me, when I don't care what the situation I am working in with a person or an animal, it's, I just see their beauty. And what I mean by that, I recognize that we are miracles, that the fact that every cell in the body communicates throughout the body and has a connection and a function and knows their function in the body, as Sir Charles Sherrington wrote so amazingly in the 30s of the last century. Wild, no? So I am going to end this with that. We're after 4 o'clock, my time, late for some of you. And it's just really been great. And Marnie, you have your hand up. Go.
Well, I was just going to ask you, since we've been talking about the SOAS, I had something I had to do on Saturday, so I tried to watch it the other day. And I don't know if it was me, but then I heard somebody else say, but most of when Eleanor is talking, it's black. And so you can't see what she's doing. And in the
what do you mean? What do you mean it's black?
I can explain. It's when, if you're got it on speaker view, remember she had a picture and she had her audio going through her iPad. So when if you've got speaker view on, all you saw was black.
Oh. thought it was me.
No, I meant to mention that to Eleanor afterwards. And I'd forgotten all about it.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, and you guys tried to tell her when it was going on, but she didn't pick up on it. But so what you end up seeing, Linda, is that when you talked, you came on screen. And when she put on anything that was a picture, you know, where she was sharing her screen, we could see it. But when she was speaking personally, the screen went black through the whole thing. And we're going to have to redo that because it just, you can't get.
Yeah.
But why was she on her iPad?
She had to have both of them because of feedback or something.
I'm going to call her now. She needs to get that fixed.
Yeah. And I actually, instead of doing speaker view, I just did gallery. So I could still see her, but only tiny.
So here's my question. To go onto the YouTube, is there a way to, it's you can't there, right? Because that's what I was doing, was I was on the video recording of it. And so there we can't fix that, can we?
No, yeah. Because it there's no way. Since it was done at the time.
I wonder, is that something that maybe you might want to call Eleanor since you
we talked about it before and she just hadn't gotten it fixed. She needs to get it fixed. She will. But I'm thinking that we maybe need to repeat that.
That would be so great because she'd get to stuff that I thought was really important and say, okay, now watch what I'm doing. And I'm like,
Right. So. And it's so profound. And you know, every time she does it, it's going to be more information.
Right.
And different. And we hear it differently. Like I said at the beginning of that, because that was the second time she's covered the subject. And I said, Eleanor, she said, oh, I've done this before. Are you kidding? We were all so interested the first time. And it's known that we retain like 8% if we're lucky of what we see. And it's less even now. So I'll there's so many other things you want to do, but it's so important. And it was Valentina, it was really, really, the last Saturdays have been really phenomenal. You must join us. It's really.
Well, and Jewel, do you understand how it went wrong and how for her to fix that?
Yeah, we do know. Don't worry.
Oh, you do know? Okay.
I think the problem was that she was with the iPhone also in and takes the audio about the iPhone and don't have the picture about the iPhone. And that is why the screen is black.
She's just jerry rigging it instead of getting her computer fixed.
Because when you speak, you come to the iPhone and the iPhone don't have the video and that's why it was black.
Oh.
And she has to speak in this thing, in this iPad, where she share the screen and have the video. And then it's not a problem. Audio and video has the same.
I had sent her an email about it this morning, and she was a little confused which one I was talking about. But
I'll call her. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to just press her to get that fixed. She just hadn't gotten it fixed.
Yeah. New computer.
If I could add one more thing, sorry to extend this, but I just wanted to tell you this, the Inside Story, the Heart Math book, I was able to download it free and print it.
Oh.
And I believe it's the same one. Yeah, it's on the website.
How long is it?
Under resources, it's short. It's like 34 pages.
Oh, yeah. Super.
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful download.
Linda, would it ever be appropriate for us to spend some of our Tea Touch for You time really talking about the heart math? Because it sounds like there are a lot of people sitting here who have some knowledge about it. And I would love to know more about it. I know very little about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Teresa's done the training to teach it. So
with pleasure.
Yeah, I think it would be, it is wonderful. And the thing that I picked up from them is using the gratitude and the breathing and added the tea touch. And the difference is you're just in your head with it. And when you put your hands and you actually connect with your body, something else happens. It's really interesting. So it's a it's
coming down from the head to the heart. It's like a feather letting go down, and the connection from the heart is 80% information is from the heart to the brain, and only a 20% from the brain to the heart. So it is so important. It's amazing. Our what we say, it's only a pump. It is much more. It's a universe in here.
And so yeah, I'd love for you guys just to have a conversation where we could just listen to those of you who know about it.
Well, let's do a teaching next week, Teresa. And if we want to do it, I think we were going to do something with the Tibetans.
Oh, but we can do them anytime.
Yes. And the thing about HeartMath, they have had major influence for the last, I mean, huge influence around the world now. It's just absolutely incredible. And they have a wonderful center in California where we went and Eleanor and I went and stayed overnight with them. Been about 3 or 4 years now. So with that, we're going to end today. And so do you want to do that the next time, Teresa?
So do you want me to make a presentation of HeartMath?
Yeah.
I have a PowerPoint so you can see it. Okay. Yeah. I have to translate it only from because I have some prepared. Okay.
Great. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it in that we'll start as normal. We'll just see what the universe is meant for us to do, and then we'll go into it.
Okay.
Beautiful. And I just want to say Sandra and Nancy, all those of you who didn't, Karen, you're still there, and Denise, we didn't get a chance to hear anything that any of you would like to say before we end, like to share?
No, just thank you.
Okie dokie.
I will say something.
Anna,
one thing I discovered this week, which is amazing. All of a sudden, I started connecting on my thighs with my elbow to do just a little tiny circle and a quarter with my elbow. And I could just, you know, I would have my legs crossed, just kind of sitting. And then I would just, and then I'd cross them a different way and just go really gently with my elbow. I mean, I'm still obviously using my hands, but I kind of thought, that's kind of an interesting idea. Just go really gently and make sure I'm breathing. And then, you know, listening to myself, observing myself. Anyway, thanks so much.
Continue to explore. Karen, anything you'd like to share? Or Nancy?
Just thank you for this time. It's been really good.
Yeah, thank you.
I do have a question, Linda, just really quick. When I got online to look at the different wraps, they had different sizes. 2 inch, you know, I know it was 1, 3, 4 inch. Like, obviously, depending if you're working with a horse or working with a dog, a small dog, I mean, I guess you start to think about, or do you have one of each size?
No, I mean, the wraps may have different sizes. On cats, you won't use a 4-inch wrap.
Right, you know, okay.
On a small dog, you might use some of them.
Like a 1 or 2 inch, okay. And what about for ourselves?
2 inch.
Okay, thank you.
I think you have the book, right? That Teresa just held up.
All wrapped up for people.
Okay. I'll look for that. All wrapped up, okay.
Yeah, it's online. You can see it. And I want to point out to you too, sign up for the our conference. We have a 4-day conference online in October. You're signed up. Good.
Yes.
I know Teresa signed up. It's really going to be really wonderful. And you just go to learnteachmatch.ca/celebration. Is it conference? No, conference. A conference. And you'll see the lineup. We don't even have all of the speakers up there yet. It's really going to be fun. And you can listen anytime. That's the thing. So the next time, may you be inspired and in gratitude.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Ciao. Thank you.
Aloha. I will end.
Aloha.
Stop the recording.